last week. And what we've been doing for the past 3 weeks since the beginning of the month, we've been looking at the church. We've looked at what is the church, how the church lives, and what the church does. Now, I don't know about you, but I think if I asked someone, if I asked anyone here, well, what's the church? Some of the responses I might get, or some of the responses that I've got in the past, you know, talking to various people is, well, they say, well, the church is somewhere that you go on a Sunday morning. Some people might take it a step further and they say, well, it's that 16th century building just down the road from where I live that has stained glass. And when you go there on a Sunday, you have to go really quietly and, you know, bow your head lightly and, you know, no noise at all. You just, you know, go in there and that's the church. Not a problem. Some other people might say, well, the church is an organization that does good. We see a lot of good things that the church does. They help the feed the hungry sometimes. They do this and that. Now, all those are good things, but like I mentioned earlier, looking at the Bible, that's not what the church is. Those are some of the things that the church does, but that's not really what the church is. Now, I'm just going to run through the bits and pieces that we did over the past couple of weeks. Then I'll start what I actually wanted to talk about today. So we said the church, we looked at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. We don't have to turn there. And in that scripture, we established that the Bible describes the church as the family of God. Paul there was sending a message to Timothy, and he made a point there. And the point he made was that, look, the church is actually God's family. The church is not a building, although we meet together as a church in a building. And sometimes we don't even have to meet in a building to be called the church. So what the Bible is saying here is that the church is actually God's family. That's what the church is. Now, the other thing we also mentioned was that the church is not a club and it's not a social institution. It's a family. So, and what we mentioned was like, for example, I have my own family. You guys come from different families. And each family has its own peculiarity. I think I made a joke, and I think the joke I made the last time, which crossed my mind again yesterday, was that in our family, like me, my wife, and this young man and this young lady, we have certain peculiarities. And one of the peculiarities that we have, the guys mostly, is that we sometimes wake up in the morning at about one in the morning, and we raid the kitchen. I remember last week or so, at about 1 o'clock in the morning, I was in the kitchen. I was digging out some cake, some ice cream, all those things that you're not meant to be eating during the day. And behold, I saw a young man just coming across as well. And he was in the kitchen as well. And I asked him the question. I said, hang on. Hey, what are you doing here? So that's one peculiarity we have in our family. Although we're trying to curb that, anytime we wake up at that time of the morning, it's going to be salad and water for the rest of the family. So I've just got a sign from someone saying that, no, it's not water. So what am I saying? The same way that everybody comes from different backgrounds, the church has certain peculiarities as well. And these peculiarities are defined from the Bible. One of the things we looked at, and this was from the book of Acts chapter 2, we won't turn there, is we saw some things about the church, the peculiarities about what makes the church different from other kinds of families. And we began to see there that the church meets together as a family. The church cares for one another. So it's not just the case of we meet on a Sunday like this as a church and whatever happens to you during the week, I don't know about. No, we looked in that book of Acts chapter 2, and we said the church cares as members of the same family. We care for one another. We are concerned. We should be concerned about what's happening with the other person. We also mentioned in there that as a church, we gather together to know more about Jesus Christ. And the way we do that is we study the Bible together as we're doing here. Sometimes you have someone, you know, preaching like I'm doing, explaining the Bible. So that's one peculiarity of the church. Now, the last thing we looked at last week was, we now said, okay, we've looked at the peculiarity of the church as a family, what the church does. Now, how about the individual in the church? How about you and I? What is the peculiarity that we should have? What should distinguish us to say, okay, look, this person is part of the church? And we looked at some of those things. Before I forget as well, the other thing I also mentioned about the church is that unlike other organizations, with the church, you cannot sign a register to become part of the church. Now, why am I saying that? Because there are times that I've come across, well, in the past, where you attend a meeting like this or a church meeting somewhere else, and they say, okay, not they, and they have a register that says, okay, if you've been coming here for 5 Sundays and you've demonstrated good behavior. For example, when you come in, you've ticked all the boxes. Now you can sign the church register and you now become a member. No, that's not how you become part of the church. That's what the Bible tells us. Or doing any of those other things. You can become part of a certain denomination. What do I mean by that? It's like a church that's maybe Anglican, Methodist. That's fine. You can become part of their denomination, but that doesn't make you part of the church by just signing a register. And we mentioned that the way that one becomes a member of a church is so simple. It is not complicated at all. It doesn't require that you jump through any hoops. It doesn't require that you do anything extraordinary. And we looked at that. And we looked at the book of John chapter 1 verse 12. John chapter 1 verse 12 says that God gave, as part of the scriptures we looked at, that if one believes in Jesus Christ and you believe that he came and he paid the penalty for your sins and you accept and trust in him, then you become part of the church. As simple as that. We'll look at that in more detail. So what am I saying? Those are the things that we're talking about the church. And one thing again is, why are we looking at the church? I mean, isn't it obvious what the church is? Why are we spending so many weeks looking at what the church is, who the church is, and all that? Well, I think it's really important that we do that because it will help us to relate better with one another. It will help us, it will give us a good understanding so that anytime we are in discussions about the church or we have certain opinions of the church, then the understanding we'll have will help us to be, it will help us more. I gave an example, I think, a couple of weeks ago, then I'll start what I was going to talk about today. Now, if, for example, I understand that the church is a family, right? And I understand that as part of a family, you might have brothers and sisters, or sisters and sisters, or brothers and brothers that disagree. But their disagreement or unagreement doesn't make them check out of that family, if you get what I mean. Now, what I mean by that is this. I've come across a couple of people, and rightly so, not any fault of theirs. And I say, oh, how are you doing? It's, you know, nice meeting you. We're having a meeting. Would you like to come? Because I talk to quite a few people. I talk to loads of people. And some people say, look, I'm not going to come to church again. Someone offended me, and they explain with great depth what someone has done for them, what someone did to offend them. And I empathize with that. So I don't say, well, that's not true, because people do offend. In fact, people do offend seriously. If I were to count offense, but you know, I can't speak too much on this. As a pastor, well, as a Christian, people have offended me to the point that, and I talk to loads of people. People have offended me to the point that I feel so drained, and I just go back home, and I just say, look, you know what? I just want to eat loads of rice and chicken now and go to bed. True. I don't even want to process this at all. What I want to do is go home, you know, 7 o'clock, lie down, eat loads of rice and chicken. If there's ice cream, have loads of that. and sleep till the next morning because I've been so offended. But the only thing is that because I understand now better that the church is made up of brothers and sisters, you can have a naughty brother or a naughty sister. Do you get what I mean? I was just saying to myself a while ago that I know. Okay, this has been recorded, so I'm not going to say this. But let's say a hypothetical family. Now, I know certain families that men, some of the, maybe like the sister is really naughty. And I use that word naughty, I mean really terrible. And anytime the sister comes home, it's like, oh my goodness, this sister has come back home. And everybody's like, look, just be cool. Just don't say too much to her. Let's just get through this meal and let her go. Do you understand? So in church, you have people who are like that. In fact, sometimes we are personally like that as well. But that doesn't make her, it doesn't make me, if I use a Facebook term, it doesn't make me unsister her. I think on Facebook is unfriend, like unfriend this person. I'm not quite, you know, unfriend. It doesn't make you unsister her. You just say, well, we're part of the same family, you know. We'll just do what is called damage control. Where, well, if she, you know, bursts out angry, I'll just say, okay, no problem, sister, I'm cool. The same thing with the church. As human beings, we will come across situations where we will rub each other the wrong way. But as God's family, we can't un-Christian, un-church one another and say, okay, look, that person should be unchurched or like unfriend. No. Now, the reason I'm saying this is this. As we begin to understand more and more that the church is a big family, we can bear more and more with one another. We can understand that, look, though this person is not exactly how I want the person to be at this point, we'll still get along. So what I'm just trying to do here is to paint the picture of how the Bible or what God refers to as the church here. Do you understand? So that we can understand more, we can be more, well, we can, you know, get along better. And we know that, you know, things are not as complicated as we can make them out to be. All right, so that's last 3 weeks summarized in 15 minutes. So today, what are we looking at today? We're looking at two things. Well, we'll see if we can look at two things today. Today, I'm going to be looking at what I would call part four of this series, the church. Now, today, we're going to look at what the church does and the message of the church. What the church does and the message of the church. And for that, we're going to look at two main parts of scripture. For this one, I'd like us to turn to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, or you can just follow on the screen. So I'm looking at what the church does as in the first part. Then the second part is the message of the church. Now, looking at what the church does, I'm going to read this. You know, we can follow me together. And it says, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of age. Now, so what we're going to be looking at today is one of the things that the church does. We've looked at what the church is. We've looked at how the church lives as a group. We've looked at how the church is made up of individuals. So today we want to look at some of the things that the church does. Now, when I mean some of the things that the church does, I'm just picking the one of the most important, well, one of the really crucial parts of what the church does. So we've read this. And Jesus was saying that, look, as the church, there are certain things I want you guys to do. There are certain things that I can't do myself. And I'll look at three things here. The first thing here is that it says, Jesus told them to go and make disciples. So the key word here, first of all, is go. Jesus says, go. So that's the first thing. The second thing is make disciples. And the third thing is to baptize. Now, we'll look at all these three very quickly. And if we have time, we'll look at the message of the church. So what does it mean when Jesus says go? What does that mean to us? Let's look at Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. So one thing Jesus says here that the church does is the church goes and preaches the good news to all creation. Now, what does this mean? What is this? What is Jesus talking about here? Jesus is saying here that as a church, there's a message that we carry. There's a reason why we do what we do. And that thing is to preach. Is to preach the good news. Now, there are times that when I say to people, oh, let's go and preach or evangelize, like it's called, there's a certain picture that might come to mind. And one picture that might come to mind is I don't know if it comes to mind for a lot of people, but this is what I get sometimes is, you see some guy on the street who is really looks like he needs a bath. He looks like, man, this guy is like from the Sahara. He is like on a mission to, you know, and this guy is like on the streets and he's shouting. Not that that's wrong. That might be an approach that works. And this person is shouting and he's saying, you are this, you are that. Don't get me wrong. That's an approach because John the Baptist was like that. So what I'm saying is that that's an approach. So I'm not putting down that approach. But what I'm saying is that sometimes people look at that and they say, my goodness, I don't even want to have anything to do with this kind of person. Now you're a Christian and the Bible is saying, Christ is saying, go. And you might picture yourself and say, my goodness, is Pastor asking me, you might not say this, to go to the streets and shout at the top of my voice to everybody that's walking along, my goodness, what will my friends say if they see me like this? They'll probably think I've become goofy or gone around the bend. And although we might not say it, sometimes it's like, look, I'm just going to come to church, be a good Christian, be quiet, but this preaching business or telling people about, I'm going to leave it to somebody else. You guys are in deep thought. Has it crossed your mind before? But that's an approach. Maybe that works for someone, but going doesn't have to be like that. Do you understand? Going and preaching the gospel doesn't have to be like that all the time. Going doesn't have to be like that. Now, if you prefer that approach, no problem. You can do that, but normally, what going means is this. Going means that wherever you find yourself and in whatever context you find yourself, you should have it at the back of your mind that you're carrying, you know about a message that is good news. I was just telling Dickness Mudge the other day, anytime I go to work, because I worked in so many places. Anytime I go to work, on a Monday most especially, I think that's a great conversation opener for me. Because on a Monday, I get to the office. Oh, and they say at work, they call me Kehinde. That's my first name. But you guys can call me Pastor Benson, I don't mind. So, and on the Monday, the question I get asked a lot of times, as like I'm almost waiting for that question. Oh, how was your weekend? Then what I say is like, oh, my weekend was great. What did you do? Man, I was in church this weekend and we had a fantastic time. It was great. I can hardly wait. And people sometimes draw a blank. It's like, hang on, are you trying to tell me, you, a computer guy, you're so excited about church? But they don't say that. Oh, they're not. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Oh, that's nice. Oh. And they walk away. They come the next week again. And they say, oh, how was your weekend? And again, I respond with the same excited answer. I just started a new job about 2 weeks ago. In fact, I used to work, before this time, I used to work quite far away in Reading. So I used to have to travel 2 hours every day. So I started this new job, which is closer. And in this new job, I was, you know, working with quite a few people. Now, my boss, or the boss of my boss, one gentleman like this, he happened to ask me the same question as well. And because I'm so used to it, can you imagine your boss? You've just started 2 weeks, and you're not quite sure what opinion they have about, you know, this Christian people that, and all that. But this guy asked me, how was your weekend and all that? And same response. Oh, my weekend was fantastic. I had such a great time. And the guy was like, hang on, do you live in England? Are you talking about the same England that I live in? He didn't say that. So he said, oh, what did you do? Oh, I said, oh, I went to church. It was fantastic. He said, really? What did you guys do there? I said, we did this, this, and this. And I said, oh, in fact, I'm actually a mission pastor and we're starting a church there. The guy just said, really? I said, yeah, really. You won't believe that. This guy took me aside, my boss, the boss of my boss, and he started to ask me questions. We sat down. He started asking me, and I said, how did I move to Bristol? No, he now said, where do I live? I said, well, Bristol, we moved from London. He now said, really? We left London to Bristol? Why did I do that? I said, well, that's what God put in our hearts. He said, really? How about the kids? On and on and on. He now asked me, do you guys take communion? I said, yes, we do. It seems a bit funny. This guy was asking me question after question, and with a big smile on my face, I was giving him answer after answer. That was week one. Week two, this guy, again, he almost cornered me. In fact, this time he didn't even ask me how my weekend was. He just said, hi, Kahinde, how was church this weekend? Then I now outlined it to him. So what am I saying here? That is going. So I'm now thinking to my mind, then they ask me all these questions. So what do I think about this? What do I think about the people suffering in China? What do I think about, and all these questions. But what I do is, I give them the good news. And I would often say, the people in China, why this happened, why that happened, to be honest, I don't have all the answers, and I don't know. But one thing I know is this, God touched my life. God has changed my life because of my faith in Jesus Christ. You know, that's the good news. So I didn't have to say, excuse me, sir, can you hang on a minute? And I'll just whip up my iPhone and play praise and worship music and go, then I'll be like, oh, now. No, you can do that if that's your preference. But what am I saying here? Going is as simple as that. So it might be that you're with your friends and they know you're a Christian and they're like, what do you think about this? Then you tell them the good news. It might be that you're with your neighbors. What do you think about this? Then you tell them the good news. So it doesn't have to be dramatic. Do you understand? But if you like drama and you like hardcore stuff, if you're free on Saturdays, follow me out. And we will go through the hardcore one. Now, the hardcore side of things is there are people that you will never come across every day. There are people that you will not encounter at work, and they need to hear the gospel. So for that one might go out of one's way to be more. I remember I took my evangelism partner, Dickness Moj, of course, and we went to a couple of places, and we're knocking on the doors. And this guy opened the door and said, "Oh, I'm Muslim. And I don't, you know, I don't this, I don't that." And we just said, "Oh, fantastic, you're Muslim. We are brothers." We started the conversation. There was another guy that said, and this is knocking doors in Bristol here. There was another guy that said, "Look, I'm Rasta." I said, "Yeah, man. No problem. You're Rasta? Yeah, man. Fantastic." And we stood there and we had the conversation with him. And we said, "Man, anytime you're free, come." True. "Anytime you're free, come." I didn't put it like that. I had to maintain the London accent so they would know I'm not. "Anytime you're free, just come to church. We'll have a conversation, my friend. God bless you." And he said, "God bless you," and we left. What am I saying here? Obviously, there are some people that will tell you, "No, don't talk to me. I don't want to hear that." And you say, "Okay, no problem." That's hardcore. If you like that kind of thing, just text me and we'll go on that together. But what am I saying here? One of the things that the church does is the church goes. So why I'm saying this, because wherever you find yourself, you can fulfill this command. You don't have to go to Africa or India to fulfill that command. Some people might, but you don't have to. You can do it right where you are. Do you understand? Right where you are. There's some other things that we'll look at, but I think I'll just end there today, and we'll look at the other bits next week. So what am I looking at today, or what am I saying? I'm saying that as a church, we're a big family. As a church, there are certain characteristics that define us. There are certain traits we have. We looked at that in the second part. The third thing we looked at was the fact that, look, as individuals, as individual members of the church, there are certain things that define us. And those things, we will learn them as we read the Bible and as God changes us from inside outward. So today we've said one of the main things that the church does is the church goes. And that going doesn't have to be complicated at all. It doesn't have to be extraordinary. You can be going wherever you are. Maybe at school, you're talking to your friends in the playground. You can go there. At work, you can go there. You know, start from where you're comfortable. You know, take baby steps, they say. You know, ask that God will give you the opportunity to really go. Do you understand? And that's what church is about. For me personally, I can tell you that I am so excited. And I'm excited because I have a better understanding of the church. I have a better understanding of who God is. The same way that you will have an understanding. And as we journey together, as we look at the Bible together, we'll begin to realize that, look, church is fantastic. The church is great. It's a family that everyone should want to belong to, you know. And as we meet, you know, we don't want to meet on a Sunday and it's like you wake up in the morning, you look at your watch and it's like, "Oh my goodness, another day of me." Oh, you know, no. Because that's not what God wants. Church is a massive, big family that we should all be excited to be part of. Let's just rise and we'll pray. If you don't mind, let's just rise together. What I'd just like us to do, please, is, like, I've spoken about quite a lot of things today, and I just want us to reflect, you know, in our own minds, and just to pray, and just really ask God from deep down within our hearts and say, "Look, can you show me what the church is really?" Let's just have that conversation with God this morning, individually, in Jesus' name, and I'll just pray along as well. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for the things that we've heard. Unique. We